Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation and technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at chumbacasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Dort Podcast. Rich Keith. It's the Dort Podcast.
Ryan Davis.
It's the Dort Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dort Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs. He is Rudd Von Dud. All hail the King of Ginger Ale. It's Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
He's kicking it old school tonight. Feels nice. Feels like an old comfy chair we used to sit in, you know?
This is the fucking sweet spot. Monday at 8:45.
Yeah.
It's been taken from us, but that's all right.
Taken from us. It's all right. We'll endeavor to persevere.
That's right. And right off the rip here, too, I know a lot of people are saying, I hope you guys go back to the old ways of doing episodes, and we will. So what happened was we've been doing recaps of The Last of Us immediately after, and therefore we don't start until 10 o'clock on Sunday night. Therefore, we've just been doing condensed episodes. But once that series is over, it unfortunately won't be Monday nights, but on Sunday nights we will do the traditional dork episode. It's just a little bit different with the show, kind of like what we did with Game of Thrones back in that time. But
back in the day, yeah. But we get a big spring coming up.
Oh, huge!
Huge
spring. And right, we have a huge show tonight, so no more grab butt, because we got to get right into what's going on right now.
This week in Dork! Yeah!
Speaking of The Last of Us, episode 6 aired last night. What did you think?
That was a dandy. That was good.
That was good.
Some changes that we saw. I mean, we're not spoilering here, but there were some changes to the game, and then there was one scene that was literally line for line the same as the game.
Yeah, and I haven't played the game in a long time, but there are a few scenes from the game that you remember and vividly stand out and get triggered.
Yeah,
and that was one of them. That was an emotional scene in the game. It was a very emotional scene in the show as well.
And two cameos in the show last night that if you blinked, you missed it.
Okay. I'm trying to think if I saw
the new horse in the stable.
Not Bojack,
but the horse's name was Shimmer. And that's actually Ellie's horse in the second game.
Okay. Shimmer.
And there was the person who she gave the stink eye to in the cafeteria is allegedly a person of great significance.
Okay. Oh, no kidding. Okay.
Yes. Right. You only saw her for a second.
Real quick. I know exactly what scene you're talking about, though. But they made a point to point that out. But I thought it was good, pretty emotional. And this isn't giving anything away, but from the trailers, you get more Tommy, a lot more Joel and Tommy combination. And that's why the name of the episode is Kin. So there's only 3 episodes left. It looks like they're going to take a little boom to the left here for sort of like a flashback episode next week.
But an important one.
Huge. Oh, huge. Absolutely. Yeah. And then just 2 final. So next week, we'll be back on Sunday night, and we'll sort of do a episode 6 and 7 combo. Now, prior to The Last of Us, they had a little teaser for a new HBO show called Love and Death with Elizabeth Olsen and Jesse Plemons. if this looks familiar to anybody, it should, because this is the exact, based off a true story show that Jessica Biel just did last year on Hulu called Candy. It's the exact same show. How can they do this? Is this
a Friends with Benefits versus No Strings Attached, or the Prestige and the Illusionist kind of thing?
It's worse, because it's the exact same story. It's the same woman. So Jessica Biel and Elizabeth Olsen are playing the exact same character. And the Hulu cast was pretty good, because Melanie Lynskey from Last of Us and Yellow Jackets, she was in it, big part. Pablo Schreiber, who you know who he is.
Yeah, I know who he is, yeah.
Yeah, he was in it. It was a good show. Apparently, it's a true story about in the 80s, like a woman had an affair, and then there was like a murder, and then it was like a whole thing. But she even has like the same kind of look. I'm like, how could they fucking greenlight this one if the other one already happened?
The other one already happened. It didn't, like, so this one's written by like David E. Kelly, right?
I think so. Yeah. Did it say Big Little Lies on it?
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, this is getting that treatment. It's getting the HBO budget. Cause I remember hearing good things about Candy, but not a lot of people I know watched it.
I watched it. It was fine. It was a show that I think if you start it, you'd want to see it through the end. It was good enough. Like, and apparently it's, it is a true story. And then it's a matter of how much do you do that's based on the actual events. But yeah, I ripped through the whole thing. I don't know if anybody else watched Candy, but it's not like it came out 5-10 years ago. It came out last year. I bet the HBO one.
I'm hoping you didn't notice. Yeah. The HBO one's going to be better for sure. But like you said, how do you do this in like good conscience? Like, how do you do this?
I don't even know if I can watch it. You can't change the rules because you didn't like how Hulu was doing it. Hulu was doing it fine. It was a fine show. It was not like one of the top 10 shows of the year, but it was good. Jessica Biel, like, we haven't seen her in a while. I thought she did a great job. And now they're bringing it back. And I'm watching it. And as soon as they showed the two, they showed, like, because it was a 30-second teaser. And they showed Elizabeth Olsen. And then they cut over to Jesse Plemons. And I'm like, this is that fucking show. This is exactly what they're doing. And
Plemdog.
Yeah,
we don't body shame here.
Right? No, God, no.
But
what were you going to say about Plemdog?
Bro might want to mix in a salad every once in a while.
Come on.
I'm worried.
The definition of shaming.
I know. I'm worried about the man's health.
I think he might have just got stung by 1,000 bees on the way to set.
I think so.
Possible.
Or he's just drank a ton of water and hasn't micturated yet.
Too much water.
Yeah.
He's drowning himself.
Exactly. Yes.
This son of a bitch. Now, we sprinkle in a little wrestling here on the podcast. And let me tell you, Rye, Saturday night was WWE's Elimination Chamber.
Sure.
Free on Peacock. If you have the cock, you can watch it.
I do.
Yeah, so you got the network. I'll tell you this right now. I hope they make a DVD or blue. Nobody makes DVDs. I hope they make a...
There's a laser disc coming.
I hope they at least put this puppy out on VHS. They should take the whole storyline of Sami Zayn and the Bloodline, which is like Roman Reigns and like the Usos and stuff. It's so good. For people that aren't even watching wrestling anymore, or maybe didn't even like wrestling, you'd be in on this. I'm telling you, Sami Zayn, best wrestler of the last year plus. Long story short, he's from Montreal. He turned on Roman Reigns like at the Rumble, so like a month ago. Then they had a little bit of a buildup, and then they had the match in Montreal. So Roman Reigns has been the champ for over 900 days, and Sami Zayn gets introduced in Montreal. Top five pops. And we tweeted out the intro at Dork Podcast. It was awesome. I live for the live crowd. That's all I care. That's the best stuff. And they went bananas for Sami Zayn, who's a great wrestler. He's great on the mic. And I wish nothing but the best for him. I love this guy.
Now,
and it was a hell of a match, too. It was good stuff.
What's more important to me in a non-wrestling fan, the Usos are the sons of Rikishi.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
It's a good wrestling family.
Yeah.
And Roman Reigns is their cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then their younger brother, he goes by the name of Solo Sikoa. So the Usos and Solo are all brothers. And then their cousin's Roman Reigns. So that was the Bloodline.
Who is weirdly related to Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yep. Yokozuna. They're all related.
Jesus Christ.
It's wild. And then Sami Zayn's character, and he's like a Canadian guy. He's like a long beard.
He does not look like he fits in.
No, he does not. Don't judge a book by its cover, because then he went in there and he was a part of the bloodline. He started calling himself an honorary Ooze, and they made shirts that he was an honorary Ooze. Like, it was great.
Yeah.
And now they've like sort of imploded on themselves a little bit. Like, one of the brothers may have like, it's great. Like, the storyline is so good. It's like one of the best things on TV. And so I'm wondering where they're going to go from it. Cause now we got only a month or so from WrestleMania. You know, there's going to be something big to do with that as well.
I might check WrestleMania out this year. I might just try to catch up on some storylines and see what's what.
It's a 2-night event. They've been splitting up into 2 nights.
If I have Peacock, so it's free for the kids.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Free for you. Free for me. Free for all.
Yeah. Now, is it true that, Big Dog is trying to sell the joint?
Oh yeah.
$9 billion or something.
Yeah. We had the Rich Keefe show, Wrestling Insider. Jason Rossi was on the show to break that down.
That seems low.
What, $6 billion?
I don't know. I feel like that's low. Is that low?
$6 billion is a shit ton.
I know. How much do professional sports teams go for now?
A lot.
A lot?
A lot. Billions.
I feel like this should be more than a professional sports team.
Well, I think it is. I don't think all the teams are worth $6 billion. Like, no, NFL still, teams probably are. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think Cowboys might be, and like the Yankees might be.
Cowboys, Patriots, maybe. I now, speaking of Peacock, Poker Face, are you caught up on Poker Face?
I am.
What do you think?
It started out hot. It's plateauing a little bit for me.
Same. I thought the last two episodes may have been the two weakest episodes.
Yeah. You talk about the race car one, right?
The race car one and the Tim Meadows, Ellen Barkin one were the two worst.
Yeah. Because I feel like the one thing that got me with this episode is that in theory, there was no crime.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah.
You know?
No, like, she catches people in their lies again, but it's like, this one's a little bit different. I don't know. Yeah. This, I think, really benefits from not a lot of shows being on. So, like, during the week, I'm really watching Last of Us, Bad Batch, and Poker Face. It's kind of it.
Oh, I'll make a recommendation for you once we get to that part of the show.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
One show I have been watching, it's a terrible show. And I am not one to just overlook bad shows. The show You. Y-O-U. Yes. Season 4. Earlier this month, they released 5 episodes. And then early in March, they're going to release the second 5. So it's a Netflix show, but they split the season in half. But it's pretty close together. I eat this shit up like a fucking pot roast, because it's just junk and it's trash show. And I'm just, this season, it's a whodunit, which I can't possibly like anymore. I also like how they do the show. It's mostly internal monologue.
Sure.
So it's constantly just Penn Badgley just talking to himself and examining the situation. They introduce you all these crazy, like, hateable characters. It's a stupid ass show. It glorifies peeping Toms, but I eat it up.
So yeah, not for me, but
that's fine, dog.
Yeah. That's fine. You good.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be for you. It's, you know who it's not for? Most people.
Right.
But I'm looking forward to the next installment. This was a movie that was out there for a little bit, and we heard that they were going to be making it, and then we saw a trailer a while ago, and it has since been released. That'd be Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Do you have any interest in Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey?
Zero. I have less than 0% interest in this movie. And I'm a big fan of the B movies.
Yeah.
But you glitched out on me a little bit there. But I'm a big fan of the B movies. This just looks a little too silly for me.
6% on Rotten Tomatoes at this point. 6%. The audience 53%. So that one's sort of more in the middle.
And again, we know that you know, horror movies don't typically do well critically, but they do better than that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Hey, Rod, guess what? Oh, shit. The overmodulated Price is Right theme only means one thing. That would be, it's time for Should I Have Bought This? Brought to you by 47 Brand. Go to 47brand.com and to the promo code hashtag dork at checkout for 25% off your entire order. This is the part of the program where you, the listener, send us, the podcast hosts, an item of something that you bought. It could, you could have bought it yesterday, could have bought it last year. It doesn't really matter. It just needs to be over $25, a photo and a brief description of why you bought it. And then we answer your question of, should I have bought this? And if for any reason Davey and I are split on this, we will turn to the live YouTube audience to break the tie, either yay or nay on the item. This one comes in from JT. And because we haven't done this in a while, he actually sent in two, and we're going to do them both. We're going to do them both. So let's add this up here. All right. Ryan, what do you see there?
That we should put caveats on this. Buying things, what that means. But what I have here is just a handsome little dog.
The dog. Yep. It's a dog.
It's a puppy.
He says, "Hey, Rich and Davey, we adopted this little guy recently. He is 5 months old, 20 pounds. He takes soft puppy shits all over the house. I'm sure Davey knows all about that because his hands are that soft when handling the puck."
It's true.
It's true. His name is Quincy or Quincy, depending, I guess, on what part of the country you're from. He's super chill. He's a great companion to our 8-pound Chihuahua. He says the adoption fees plus other stuff came to around blah, 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 with the shoes he's chewed up and couch he destroyed. Altogether, he's actually cost us about blank. Should I have bought him?
Now, you can't say that a dog is chill and then tell me he ruined your couch in the next breath. But God damn it, look at that guy.
Look at him sitting there with a Chihuahua pup.
You know what he's got too going for him? He's a nice fawn color. He's got that nice like deer hair color. And I tell you, he's got a great ear flop on him.
Uh-huh. He does have a nice ear flop. All right, do you want to take how much did he cost with the adoption fee and some of the other stuff that goes in with it? Probably shots.
I'm going to say this is somewhere in the ballpark of $400.
Oh my God, nailed it. That's the exact price.
Is it the exact price? Do I win? What do I win?
That's the exact price. I don't know. I wish I had a sounder for that.
As somebody with taxes and fees, as somebody who has rescued two dogs, I can tell you right now, they are the best kind of dogs. And this is exactly where you should get your dogs from and the exact price you should pay. And I'm going to go ahead and take it a step further and say, like, I don't give a shit how much it is. We're in on this dog.
This is how we do it.
I agree. Congratulations to JT and Quincy. He did say it cost him about $1,500 with the couch and everything else, but whatever. All right, now here's another
new couch. Anyway, that couch looks nice, though. The couch, the ottoman he's sitting on, does look nice.
Yeah, that must be the before picture.
Yeah.
All right. So this one also comes in from JT. He says, "Hey guys, my wife recently tricked me into taking out our family to a dinner that I had never heard of. It's called Omakase. It's apparently a Japanese meal. This was the type of place that doesn't have dollar amounts on the menu."
Oh, boy.
"It's a 15-course meal for blank per person for the food. The drink pairing is another blank per person. And you can substitute any of the courses for an upcharge alternative. In the picture..." All right, let's pop up the pictures here. Let's see. There you go. In the picture... where it looks like a raw piece of steak.
That's tuna. It looks like it's steak.
Yeah.
It looks like tuna, but look, all right. But
maybe I have the wrong picture. I think that one's the steak. It was basically one bite and it cost blank. He goes, "Granted, it was one of the best meals of my life. And once you've had sushi at this level, you can't really go back to a regular Japanese restaurant. The full bill came to just over blank. Should we have done a chew and screw or should I have bought this?" So here are some of the other items.
Okay. So if you've seen the movie Jiro Dreams of Sushi, I mean, this is what high-end sushi restaurants do. They basically prepare it right in front of you and just give you the sushi and you eat it kind of in one bite and there's 15 courses. And that looks like tuna or steak there. No. No. And here's where I get... I don't know how old JT's kids are, but I'm going to tell you like this.
Yeah.
I take my kids to the 99 or Friendlies and they are pigs and shit. They are so happy. I'm not going to spend hundreds of dollars on like handcrafted sushi for my kids to be like, I don't want this. You know what I mean?
He didn't mention that. So I'm assuming they all enjoyed their food because he said it was one of the best meals of his life.
Yeah, true. So I'm going to say, looking at this right now, knowing that market price for like fish and meat is ridiculously high right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this again, probably like $250
for everybody.
Higher. No, now you're going to make it higher.
Higher.
$500.
Right. Higher than that.
No, I'm out. I'm out on that. There's no way. I love my kids so much. There is no goddamn way I'm spending over $100.
Do you want me to tell you? Do you want me to tell you how much it cost?
I don't think I do, but I want to hear it.
The full bill came to just over $2,000.
Get the fuck out of here!
Also a brag, JT. Let's be honest. That's also a brag that you can go out there and do that. Here's what I would say. Me and my wife are very different in this regard. I enjoy food. There's certain food that I like, but I don't need to spend money on it. I can find great joy in just basic ass shit. I'll eat anything. I'm like a garbage disposal. I'll eat anything.
I just got me some Chick-fil-A tonight.
Yep. Awesome. Oh, that sounds amazing. Sounds amazing. I can eat shit. I used to, between like high school, college, and actually even recently, I would eat ramen like 5 times a week. Just like stuff it down just to fill me up and move on. Like, I do like food, but my wife like loves food and like that kind of thing. She's like, as long as it's really good, she's like, that would be worth it. But I'm like, no, for me, no. I'm just thinking about where that money could go. I don't like going out to any kind of expensive restaurants, any kind of expensive dinners. So that's just personal preference for me and Davey. We're a no on that.
And there are not a lot of times on this program where I have been uttered absolutely speechless. This is one of those times.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine.
No.
Not only, again, you said brag, having the amount of money to do that, but like with kids.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
It's pretty good.
I can't justify it. I'm glad you had that meal and I'm glad it was good. And I hope it treated you well on the way out too.
Same. Oh yeah. That's a good point. Always worried about that on the back end.
Yeah.
But holy macarons. I'm trying to think. What's the most
congrats on the dog though? The most expensive meal I think I've ever had.
I've ever paid for.
Yeah. Anniversary dinner. It was at maybe Abe and Louie's or something like that. But
yeah,
it was probably in the ballpark of like $300-$400. It was the most I've spent at a restaurant.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's way under $1,000. But it might have been one of those times where I tried to be like the hero and I'm like, I'll pay for everybody, which doesn't happen often, but it was like maybe like out with my wife and her sisters or something like that, and that would probably be the most, would be my guess. I don't know.
I've lost a game of credit card roulette.
Oh, that would do it.
Uh-huh.
I'm not fucking paying it.
There was an issue if they didn't take care of the tip, because usually when you lose that game everyone else takes care of the tip, right? Like, that's kind of like the general rule.
It's a gentleman play.
I think I had something just north of $100 in my bank account, and the bill came to like $80.
Yeah.
I had zero money.
You're like, guys, so, I literally can't pay for it. They're like, oh, ha, 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 ha.
You're like, ha, ha. I'm like, no, I'm serious. Like, do you want me to pay?
Yeah.
A month? Like, please pick somebody else.
I can't do it. Please don't pick me. Don't pick me. I didn't even eat anything, so I didn't think I was going to be able to afford it.
You know what got me, too? I was so poor at the time that everyone I went with threw credit cards and I threw a debit card. So the waitress was like, all right, whoever threw out their debit card, you're paying.
I can't tell the difference. I'm an asshole.
It says it on it.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, that's how you play Should I Have Bought This. So feel free to send yours in, dorkpodcast@gmail.com, and we will answer the question, should I have bought this? Hey, Rye.
Y'all ready for bisque?
Are we skipping something?
Yep.
No, I'm kidding. I'm just skip it. I'm playing Harry Potter. I can't stop. It's great.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute. Even if it takes more than a minute.
Of course, now it's time for Davey's Video Game Minute. Davey, what do you have?
I'm playing Harry Potter, the Harry Potter game. Was it Hogwarts Legacy? It's great. Play it.
Y'all ready for bisque?
Rye, you time ready for the topic du jour?
What?
Well, I'm glad you asked. The topic of the day. And today it is Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantum Mania. It is the third Ant-Man film, the 31st MCU movie. It's the first in Phase 5. It had a runtime of 2 hours and 3 minutes. There is a mid and a post-credits scene. So if you haven't seen it yet, sit all the way through. Now, this is what's really jumped out over the last 5 days. Rotty T's, old Rotten Tomatoes, critic score of 47%, which is currently tied for the lowest MCU movie with Eternals, which we know was a bag of shit and my least favorite of the entire series. It is getting an 84% by the audience. So we'll kind of unpack all of that as we do spoiler-free with all of our movie and TV reviews. Ryan, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantum Mania. Did you like it?
Parts of it I liked. Most of it I found underwhelming.
Oh, interesting.
There were aspects of it that I did like, but it was, yeah, I found myself feeling all 2 hours and 3 minutes of this.
Okay.
Interesting. How about you?
I liked it. I liked it a good amount. There were a few things I had quibbles with. I think almost all of the characters I really like. And so I found myself with, just like there's certain TV shows that are this way where even if it's not the best, I just like being with so many of those characters. So both the old and the new, like some of the new characters, they get a lot more screen time than they had before, I thought were really good. So I liked it. I don't think it's the greatest movie of all time or the greatest MCU movie of all time, but I feel like the backlash critically is just people either sick of comic book movies, or they're like, enough is enough, or maybe they're starting to feel like Marty Scorsese in them, and they're like, okay, that's it, because they're taking it out on Ant-Man and the Wasp, and there's no way this is one of the bottom 10, I don't think, MCU
movies. I wouldn't say that, and I think one of the things that hurts critics with this too is, and again, I'm not making excuses for this movie, but you have to watch these movies with a wide lens. Like, you have to see this with things like how it pertains to other things. When you're reviewing a movie or whatever, you have to see that movie like in a vacuum. So like by itself, this movie is kind of all over the place. Now it tells stories that are going to be told. It starts stories that are going to be told down the road.
Yeah.
So to that regard, like, I think it's very entertaining, but it's easy for me to see where critics were like, well, this is by itself, like on its own, it doesn't really do much.
What do you think is more confusing to the layman, multiverse or quantum realm?
I was more confused as to how many times in the first 45 minutes of this movie they said the word quantum.
Oh, they were very quantum.
It was always every other word. And it was just like, all right, let's go. Like, it was just... I think there's an over explanation of this now. I think they're afraid that people are going to get confused by the word quantum, because that doesn't really mean anything.
They had a lot of
stuff. Yeah.
A lot of characters explaining it. And I think we knew this was going to happen. Like, as the Marvel Cinematic Universe was moving on, like, as soon as you go to outer space, like, all right, you might lose a few people. As soon as you go to multiverse, you're going to lose a few people. You go to the quantum realm or whatever you want to say, like, it's getting a little crazier. Like, us comic book fans are used to it. We've seen much wilder shit in the comics than they've shown in these movies so far. I still like the characters, including Kang. And Kang the Conqueror as a villain is fantastic. Jonathan Majors is a stud. It's a good thing he's involved in the MCU, I think, going forward, because one of the big drop-offs post-Thanos was, all right, you don't have this big, big bad that can take on everybody. Now you do. And I think he is such a strength of the movie that I kind of weigh that against some of the stuff that I did have issues with, which, again, it's not a perfect movie. There's one kind of thing, which I'll get to in spoilers, that they go to a few times. I'm like, even for me, it's a bit much. But overall, I do think it was a pretty strong movie. I think it's the best Ant-Man movie, and I liked both of the other Ant-Men's.
You think this is the best of the Ant-Man movies?
For me, it is, and I think I'm weighted, one, recency bias, and two, Kang.
Okay.
That's where I'm going. I would say, do you have your MCU rank, or at least ballpark rank, for this one?
It's in the middle. It's not horrible. I would put it up there. This is Captain Marvel-esque.
Okay.
In that realm.
So you... It's like the, yeah. No, that's fair. I like it more than you do. I have it. Let me, I put this in my letterboxed. I have a 13th. And to me, most of phase four, I shouldn't say most of, a decent amount of phase four and this one, which of course starts phase five, I think they have like a upper middle or like bottom third kind of carved out. I would put this, although below it, I think it's in the Wakanda Forever, Spider-Man No Way Home, maybe just ahead of like Thor Love and Thunder, Black Widow. Like for me, it's right in that group. So I have a 13. If somebody told me they had it 19, fine. I don't think you could have it a whole lot higher than I have it, but that's where I got it right now.
See, for me, I would put this in the realm of like the first Thor.
Oh, Jesus.
Multiverse of Madness.
So you have it probably in the 20s.
Black Widow. Like I would say high teens for me. High teens. Early 20s.
Is it the worst Ant-Man for you?
No. Ant-Man 2. Ant-Man and the Wasp was probably... It's better than that.
Oh, okay. All right.
I have to redo my rankings again. But it's somewhere in like low 20s, mid... like because I'm looking at all of the movies right now. It's not better than... Guardians 2. It's not better than Wakanda Forever. It's not better than Doctor Strange. Not better than Winter Soldier. Like it's, you know what I mean? Like there's all these movies that, you know what it is? It's Shang-Chi.
Okay. See, I have it above that. So what you need to get the Letterboxd app, and then that way you just have it. And then
you just plug it in where it goes.
Yeah, just look at, here we go. Here's right on the screen here. That's all my movies right there.
But it's like Shang-Chi was 91% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I don't get it. Shang-Chi was good. Like, there were some really good parts in it.
Right. But there were also part like any Awkwafina in there. Like, I didn't need that. Also
Awkwafina. I think top 10 Marvel is going to be tough to crack. Or top 10 MCU movies is going to be really, really tough to crack. And again, there's 31 of these bad boys. I think the bottom six or so, or five, or no, the bottom five are just trash. And then that's where you start to get into your debate a little bit on where it's at.
So Rotten Tomatoes has the bottom five as The Incredible Hulk, Thor the Dark World, Love and Thunder, Ant-Man, Quantumania, and Eternals are the bottom five, according to Rotten Tomatoes.
It'd be Eternals, it'd be Iron Man 3, it'd be The Incredible Hulk, it'd be Iron Man 2, and it'd be Thor the Dark World.
What if I told you that Iron Man 3
doesn't make sense.
Rotten Tomatoes received?
It shouldn't. Whatever about you're just about
it's
to say.
No, it's not. Where is it?
Oh.
No, I must have said it.
It's gone.
No, it's .
All right. By the way,
79%.
It's too high. All right. Let us know in the chat what your hashtag dork scores are for Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. As I ask you this, Ryan Davey, normally we ask, is it a must-see movie? But it's MCU, so of course it's going to be a must-see movie. But what is, and I can kind of get a sense based on your early description of it, what is your hashtag dork score?
3.5.
I knew it. That was my prediction for you.
Yep.
I'm going 4.5.
Okay.
If I'm going to justify it being in the top half, I think at least half the movies are 4, 4.5 or higher. So I'm going to go 4.5 out of Ant-Man and the Wasp. And we can unpack this. Maybe my score will go lower. Maybe yours will go higher as we sort of get to spoil. Anything else non-spoiler? Again, we mentioned mid-credit, post-credit. Anything else non-spoiler?
No.
Yeah.
Spoilers! 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 Here come the spoilers!
All right, so you kind of hit on it a moment ago, but did the quantum realm make sense in this
movie? Yes, and I think what they had to do, and again, movies are seen in a vacuum, right? So we saw this with one of my daughter's good friends and like her parents, right? Okay. So it was a gaggle of us. And so one of my friend's spouse had not seen Loki. So she had no idea about really the timelines or Kang or the timelines or anything. So I think a lot of the exposition was done for people like her who are like casual Marvel fans who might not have seen all the shows. Like they've seen all the movies, but not all the shows.
Yeah.
So she needed a little nudge. But to me, it was kind of an over explanation. Like you could have just been like, the quantum realm is like it's a tiny universe. And like, I think of it, the joke, remember Donald Sutherland's character in Animal House when he's like, one atom in my fingernail could be like an entire universe.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, so our universe could be like one tiny atom and he's like, yeah. and he asked him to buy pot off him. But there's your explanation right there. That's all it is.
Yeah. Boom,
done.
And I think you're right. It's tough to compare it to just any kind of standalone movie because obviously it's the third. It's also the 31st. And the importance of like Janet Van Dyne being in there for so long and even Hank's relationship with it, Scott Lang's relationship with it, his daughter's relationship with it. Like you need to kind of understand what's going on a little bit there. I agree. They don't assume that everybody has seen everything. So for the people who have, there's going to be a little bit of the extra stuff. One thing, I feel like this was both a strength and a weakness of the Quantum Realm, is it was very Star Wars-like.
Very Star Wars-like.
I feel like it's almost a ripoff of Star Wars. On the one hand, you're like, oh, cool, I like Star Wars, and I like what they're doing, and there's all these different worlds, and there's like crazy technology and all these weird-looking creatures. But then you're like, it's also kind of just a ripoff of Star Wars.
It kind of is. And even like down to the dress, they would call them nods, right? Just the way that at times, like, for whatever reason, like Hope Van Dyne, like you saw her, she has clothing underneath the suit.
Yeah.
But like she put more clothing on top of the suit and it looked like very Rey, very like Tatooine, like desert goggles and all that stuff. So, but I was going to say too, and in that explanation, remember in Being John Malkovich, when John Malkovich goes into his own brain and everyone's John, and they just keep saying Malkovich, Malkovich, Malkovich. That was them saying quantum.
Well, yeah,
the whole first 20 minutes with quantum, 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 quantum,
oh, like quantum realm. Like,
I'm
in the
quantum realm. I'm backtracking, but so they were like, and I did like the what do you call it? The ooze, which they could understand everybody, like after drinking the ooze.
Oh, they drank Veb. Yeah, Veb's the guy with the holes who like loves.
Yeah, but they
holes.
Kept saying, "Drink the ooze."
Yeah.
So that
some of that stuff was good, and that is just the way they're tied up was also Star Wars like, where at first you're like, you know, the Ewoks kidnap everybody, and then they end up liking them and whatever. So it had a little bit of that vibe, but if you get into each of the characters, because basically the whole premise of this movie is. They end up getting stuck in the quantum realm. Then they have to get out of the quantum realm. But who do they meet in the quantum realm?
And I think they meet the quantum guys.
They're the quantum guys. I love, love, love the Janet Van Dyne flashbacks. And really anything Janet Van Dyne, Michelle Pfeiffer is doing, I think is great. I think it's one of the strong points of the movie. It reminded me, different character, but the way Angela Bassett crushed it in Black Panther Wakanda Forever. Where you're like, oh, this movie's more about Shuri. It's more about these other characters. You're like, she crushed it. And same with this movie. You're like, oh, it's Ant-Man, Wasp, Cassie, Kang. Janet Van Dyne dominated. And because it had been kind of glossed over that she was there for 30 years. Right? Like she was gone. She was missing. She missed out on Hope's whole life. In the previous two Ant-Man movies, they talk about it, but we don't really hear anything about it. She doesn't want to talk about it. So she experienced a shitload while she was down there. And that first scene where she meets Kang is fucking great because as a viewer, you're like, oh, this guy's bad news. Like, this is the fucking guy. This is the guy. And then just him being like, oh, yeah, I crashed down here. Like, you got any help? And then she helps him out. And then the reason why she doesn't want to talk about it, she's like, I got this guy out of there. Like, this is my issue.
It's kind of, see, my thing with the whole story that was frustrating to me is you didn't get that answer until like an hour plus into the movie. And the whole time she's being like cagey. And if it were my mother, right? And then I would be like, she's like, I'm just trying to keep you like safe. And be like, we're already fucking down here.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck are you keeping me safe from? I'm already in danger. Like, what's the point now? Like, what's the point of like keeping this from me and like having this whole buildup when you could just be like, all right, here's the deal. Like, this is why we're here. This is who this guy is. Like, you could have explained that and not like dragged it out. For like another hour, Ivan Drago it out for another hour. Yeah,
all right. The best way to maybe do this is to go through each character and sort of some of their pivotal points in this. So let's just start with Scott Lang, who is the star of the movie, but less so, I would say, than the previous two because there's so many other characters involved here. I think he's good. Like he does some cool stuff. Like he gets really, really big. He gets really, really small. He has the same Paul Rudd comedy that he normally does. I also really like the beginning and the end of the movie where it's just him kind of bookend, like walking through the town. and he's an author. He wrote this book, and he's just like, oh, this is great. And then the ending, which again, we're in spoilers, we're jumping around, but the ending where he's like, wait a minute, where'd Kang go? Everything's fine, right? Yeah, no, it's definitely fine. I thought that was good.
And this is like kind of like the shtick, and I did like the idea that you have this family of superheroes sitting around, and they're all kind of going at him like, well, what have you done lately? Like, what have you done other than like written a book?
Yeah.
And like, you know, taking pictures, like selfies with people. Like, you're not doing anything of consequence here.
He's like, I saved the universe.
Like, and they, oh yeah, like play it again, like broken record, you know? Yeah, here we go, you know? Yeah, and they're like, just you? Like, just you did that, you know?
Just you, yeah.
Yeah. So I like that they kind of poked fun at that a little bit. And it's kind of like the average Joe Avenger, the guy who's like the...
Yeah.
He's on the team, but he's like... Everyone in the neighborhood knows he plays on the team, but like he doesn't get much playing time in the game.
He was the happy to be there guy. Like, he loves Captain America. And that is still true, too, where he's like, when she was like, well, didn't you go to the airport to fight Captain America? He goes, fight with Captain America, not against it. What do you think? I have a psycho or whatever the hell he says. Like, that's a good line. And we also get this guy.
Go steering wheel that doesn't fly off while you're driving.
We must protect Ruben. And by the way, his name's Ruben. And I think the character's name is Ruben, right?
Makes it easy.
And we must protect this man at all cost.
I know.
Thank you, Spider-Man.
Thank you, Spider-Man.
What is he looking for? What is he looking for, Richard? Mm-hmm. In his whole life, Ruben, the...
That's it.
Go steering wheel that doesn't fly off while you're driving.
That's it. That's all he wants.
Tesla, evidently.
I know.
I think Tesla's got the same goddamn thing, but... Hope Van Dyne? She was probably better in Ant-Man and the Wasp. That's sort of more of a breakout where she was in the suit and she was doing a lot more in that movie, I thought. This movie, she was good, but there's just a lot of people going on.
Yeah, and the family dynamic thing is kind of odd, too. Like, I don't know how together the two of them are. Not that it matters, but like, they didn't really give her much to do in this movie.
Now, I'm trying to think of like what her standout scene was. I mean, they all use their
Coming back for Scott at the end was kind of like the
that's a good one.
Yeah,
and they all use like their abilities really well. Like, they can get down, and it's a good scene where like Scott is trying to like teach Cassie. So Scott's also like behind because everybody else in the family has been helping Cassie with all kinds of stuff, whether it's working on the quantum realm or whether it's her suit. Like, he didn't even know she had a suit, and then so he has to play catch up in this whole thing. So yeah, Hope's fine. Hope's good. Like, it's a good character. Cassie, this is funny because I really, really liked Cassie. I think this is where there is a little bit of a split when people get in. I thought she's a good actress. I thought she was good. I like the character very much. I think she has like a natural charisma. But a lot of the critics I saw being like, oh, she's emotionless. I'm like, I didn't really see that.
I didn't see that either. I think it's, you know, being a teenager or like a young person. You know, I think that kind of goes along with it. And I think that this is going to be a nice transition when it happens from the old guard to the new guard. And when they bring Cassie, my guess would be this is the introduction of this Cassie Lang, who's going to take over the mantle of Wasp.
Yeah. She Wasp or she like,
I think she's Wasp. Like
Stinger. There's like another one.
Stinger. Too. Yeah. Yeah.
But maybe
she doesn't go by Wasp. Yeah.
She could be a Wasp. She's probably a little too old. I also thought she could have been a good Ellie for The Last of Us.
She would have been a great Ellie. She would have been a little too old for that. Yeah.
I think for this version, she's supposed to be like 16 or so. So probably a little too old, but I thought she was good. Now, one question I have is when they were falling down to their presumed deaths, when they were going into when they got sucked into the quantum realm, she didn't hit the button to turn her suit on and Paul Rudd had to save her. But then later on in the festivities down there, she had her suit. So I'm like, did you have your suit and not turn it on?
She had it, but I don't think she wanted to tell him that she had it.
But she was willing to die over that?
Right. I think that's the point. You pull the parachute, right?
I probably would have pulled it earlier.
But she could only go small. So like, I don't know if the suit would have actually helped her.
Yeah, but could she fly in the suit?
I don't think so. I don't think she could fly yet.
All right, maybe not. So maybe she needed.
Hank and Janet didn't have suits either, and they were fine. Well, they landed somewhere else, but yeah, I get it.
No, that's true. But again, she's a major point in this, and for better or for worse, it feels like all of the Marvel movies are pushing towards the whose kids will be the next Avengers.
Right,
and some are better than others, and I don't know how I'm going to feel about that, where in like 10 years, it's just kids of superheroes. Maybe I'm going to be too old. I don't know. I'm not there yet. And we don't have to worry about it yet, but that's all. Every single movie is like, this is the kid, like the last Black Panther is like, yeah, you got a son. Like this guy's a kid. There's a daughter, a son, this daughter. And like, oh my God, hard to keep this all straight. Janet Van Dyne, I would say was probably MVP or co-MVP of the whole shebang. She
with Kang.
Yeah, her and Kang. Her and Kang were the two best, I think. Mm-hmm. Hank Pym, kind of the worst.
Yeah, he didn't do much until the end. Like he was just kind of dead weight until the end.
And so that was the bullshit I was talking about. Like it's kind of too much with his ants. And I know it's Ant-Man. I know you're going into a movie called Ant-Man. But his whole thing, like talking to them like they're dogs or dolphins, and then they all have the things on, they like save the day. It's like a whole ant army.
And they've made like technological advances. Like they're still ants, my man.
I don't love it. And I feel like
doozers. They look like doozers now.
Yeah, they do.
Like they're building shit.
Yeah, I don't. And I also think Michael Douglas is also the way he plays it. It's not even like a guy having fun. It's like a guy kind of making fun of it.
Yeah. And Hank Pym in the comics is like a huge asshole. Like him and Tony Stark are like the biggest assholes.
He hits Janet Van Dyne.
Yeah. And he's a big drinker. Like he's not a good guy. He's a bad guy.
But it's just like, he knows his character is kind of like shit. And he just like, I don't know. I didn't care for it. I think he's the worst character in the whole thing.
And I thought it was like this lame shit. Like he would bring a little pizza and like make it a big pizza with like a drop of Pym particles. But go save $8. I'm like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
Like this is stupid.
Get a fucking real pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't like the ant thing. Oh, going back to Scott Lang. What did you think of the army of Scott Lang ants?
Wait, the Scott Lang ants?
Remember when they were all like Ant-Man ants, and he's like, he was in that area where they're like,
head
when he's going to retrieve the thing, and he's like, he just like spawned like so many of them. They had the Baskin Robbins one, and then they just kept like forming them. Then he's like pushing himself up. And
yeah,
like,
oh, I thought that was a lot of ants. A visual visually that looked cool.
Did you see this in 3D?
I did not.
Me neither. But somebody asked me about that, and I'm like, you know what? I don't love 3D, but this probably would have been a decent movie for that. There's probably some crazy scenes for that. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to Kang. Kang the Conqueror, I thought was so good because he plays such a range, and we'll get to post credits and end credits in a minute, but the range that he plays and where he's first sort of talking to Janet Van Dyne, and he's just like so thankful for her help, and he's just like going to do this, going to do that, but then she figures out who he is. And then like the way he can flip, and then some of those, and then when the suit comes on him and he's like attacking everybody and screaming at everybody, like the highs and lows, like he put on an acting performance for the ages. He's great. He lived up to the hype because again, the hype was pretty high.
And I was talking to Rye about it. I was talking to my wife about it. And she said something to the effect of like, well, I don't remember him being like that in Loki. And I was that's probably not the same one.
It's for sure not. It's definitely not, because this one's stuck. Yeah. He's been stuck in the quantum realm. So if he knew, so this is Kang the Conqueror. And I think we mistakenly
mentioned. So the Kang and Loki mentioned Kang the Conqueror. Right.
Yes. Yeah, so we thought they were going by two names, but it was basically He Who Remains is the Loki Kang.
Yes.
So there's a million Kang variants, obviously. Mm-hmm. And this one was stuck in the quantum realm. So at first, as I'm watching it, I'm like, how can he be in the quantum realm this whole time if he's talking to Loki? And you're like, aha, he's not. He's not the same guy. So He Who Remains is different. Kang the Conqueror is down there. And then you see in the mid-credit, all the Kangs getting together and they're talking shit about the Conqueror and like, they killed the fucking Conqueror.
Yeah. But, and they're mad that it wasn't them.
Yeah.
Who did it. Apparently, and so like, he's a bad guy.
So then the thing that fucks with Paul Rudd too is he's like, at the end, he's like, well, Kang said, like, if he got out, he could save everybody, but he needs to get out. And he's like, but he didn't get out. So he's like, did I fuck this whole thing up? But is that also him just lying, or was he a guy that was trying to keep things somewhat balanced?
I think, no, I had nothing to do with balance. I think he's just trying to save himself and his family.
Yeah, because he's still, like, he's admitted to, we've seen him destroy whole timelines. So,
and it's funny because, like, they ask him like, who's coming? Like, you don't have no idea like what's coming, or you don't know what's coming. And he's like, well, what's coming? And he says, me. Yeah. Like so he knows that there's variants out there who are trying to preserve their own timelines, but that also means destroying others.
He also
is where it's like ethically, like where, because he says something to Janet at one point when she's about to leave and she's like, well, what about all those like trillions of people? And he's like, well, that's how you get home.
Yeah.
Like that's how you get home. Like that's if it doesn't matter. Like, and I think,
yeah.
We have this like, so the multiverse, like with this new Hubble, like the new like deep space telescopes, like it's funny. Like if we do something around the house, that like really doesn't matter. The answer is like, well, there's millions of universes. So like, whatever, like it's some universe, like you're not going to do it. It's going to be fine. And some, whatever.
This is
so,
all like, simulation.
Right. So like to me, if it means saving my wife and kids, and that means like another version of me, like in another timeline, some variant goes away. Oh, fucking well. Like, I don't care.
No, I'm right.
You know, I don't care. You know, so
that's what I'm dealing with right here.
Yeah, I'm sorry for you.
You know?
And I get it that someone could do that to me very easily as well. And that's my lot. That's how insignificant we are as people.
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I thought all that, all the Kang stuff is good. And just sort of Janet's relationship with him all along. And then what he was doing down there and him trying to get out. And like, who knows? Oh, I also really liked when he found out that Ant-Man was like, I'm an Avenger. And he's like, have I killed you before?
Yeah.
And he's like, what? And he's like, I've killed a bunch of Avengers. He's like, are you like Thor? And he's like, well, we get confused for each other a lot or whatever, but
same body type.
So, I mean, that's another whole movie, or that's not a movie, but that's probably like a short they could make, is Kang the Conqueror in another dimension, killing other Avengers.
Like Kang kills the Avengers or something. What I like about that too, is that you can now, you've cracked that egg open. The whole world is open now. You can do whatever you want. Yeah. I mean, we talk about like Days of Future Past and things. Like, you could literally do whatever you want now.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. Oh yeah. That's why like X-Men, Deadpool, Fantastic Four, whatever. Like,
that's why you're hearing like rumors of, you know, Robert Downey Jr. coming back for like Secret Wars. Like,
they could all be back.
Cause you could, there's no reason why you couldn't.
I do think it lowers the stakes though, which
absolutely. Yeah.
Is the issue. And like, just like in Multiverse of Madness, it's one of those things where like, oh, you finally see Patrick Stewart with this group and you see some of the, and then they just wipe them all out and you're like, yeah, well, those aren't our guys anyway. Like, oh, okay.
But I would love to see, and I know this is a non sequitur, but I would love to see with Ironheart have Robert Downey Jr. be like the new Jarvis, like his consciousness is in her suit.
It's possible.
And just do a voiceover. He'd just sit in a chair and do voiceover work.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of sitting in a chair, I'm kind of bummed they put this in one of the trailers, but MODOK, we got live action MODOK for the first time, and the little twist on it where Yellow Jacket, played by or Darren Cross is the character from the first Ant-Man. So it's a mirror villain in the first Ant-Man. And then you jump, long story short, and Kang kind of used him, formed him. And it's so jarring when he takes the helmet off and he's just like an enlarged face. It's outrageous. But what do you think
of the baby legs? So this was the comic relief for me. I actually thought this was, and I love how they showed you as many ridiculous characters as they could prior to seeing MODOK, because it kind of like desensitized it to, you had a guy with like a laser face.
Yeah.
And that's pretty good. You know, you had like, what's the, a million ants. a million ants. And you had like, what do they call this? I forget what they call
it. It was like Vindicators 3.
Vindicators. Yeah. So like, you had all the Vindicators down there and then like, oh yeah. And by the way, so it wasn't as jarring as it could have been. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was, I'm the perfect killing machine. He's like, but I'm such a dick. It was my favorite line of the whole thing.
Yeah. And then Cassie's
just been a dick for so long. He's like, well, you don't have to be a dick. He's like, but I'm such a dick.
You don't have to be a dick. And then when he's like, Scott, you and I were like brothers. And he's like, what?
It's like, thank you for making me an Avenger. And he's like, okay, man. Yeah.
Today I went out as an Avenger. That was great.
Okay. Sure. And I even said it out loud in the theater. I'm like, you sure did, man. You sure did, buddy.
You did.
I loved the little like heartbeat. The EK just like went red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, MODOK was a surprise. And I'll tell you, Marvel has so many characters. Think about how long comics have been written.
And just some of them, like in the shitty age of comics, like how crazy some of those characters were, like Bill Murray's character.
And so you might as well, Lord Krylar, Yeah. So Lord Krylar comes in, but you might as well put these characters in the game, is what I say.
Why not? And again, like Krylar, like who cares if he dies?
No, right.
It's a fun little cameo and like, yeah. Bye-bye.
Yeah. So yes,
I love how he was like,
good creep.
It was wild. It was wild. And then the Pims and Van Dyne's talking about how they had needs over the 30 years to their daughter. Yeah. I thought that was pretty funny as well.
Yeah. It's pretty good. And Bill Murray, this is also sort of Star Wars-ish in a way where it's like very what's his name? God damn it. Never mind. I missed it.
Someone said they should have just had Bill Murray play himself. He basically did.
He kind of did. Yeah, no, he kind of did. Then Veb, of all like the side characters and all the side creatures that were there and were all a part of like the resistance or whatever they call them, Veb, who kept asking everybody how many holes they had, and yes. Then he's like, I don't have any holes. And then all of a sudden they shot him, and you're like, is this guy gonna fucking die? And then he's like, I have holes, and he starts swallowing guys. I mean, if you drink them, that is a great idea, because if all these different creatures and aliens, like, it just writes that away where you're like, oh, they can't all understand each other. It's like, nope, drink Veb, and then you're good.
Some Veb juice, Veb ooze.
Yeah.
Voiced by David Desmalshin, who played one of Scott Lang's crew and played Polka Dot Man. So he's the voice of Veb.
Hey, you like that? Pretty good. Guys, get more.
He's like, and that was
this year too.
Yeah, and that was a great little cameo there.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. All right, mid-credit scene. This is where you get lots of Kangs, like tons of Kangs.
All the Kangs.
There seems to be three main Kangs, but they're all talking about how Kang the Conqueror died and how somebody killed him. So it's obviously jarring to them. And they're also getting pretty pissed that the heroes that we're watching on this Earth are getting pretty interested in kind of messing with the multiverse.
Right.
So like, we can't have that. So now they're going to crack down on, I would assume, Loki. I would assume Doctor Strange, like anybody that's fucking around with this stuff.
I did like the Kang variant that looked like Kotal Kahn from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
It looked like
yeah.
And it flashed the one voice.
When they were in the arena, he flashed to one of the like ones from like the comics that you see, I think, in the Infinity War run, that was like, that looked just like the, like kind of like a gray face.
Like a Skrull.
It looks kind of Skrullish, actually. Yeah. All right. So good question in the chat. Do you think Kang the Conqueror really died? This Kang. Obviously, there's a million Kang variants, but do you think the Kang from this movie died? I think there's a chance.
There's a chance. I mean, but it doesn't, again, like, I think, yes, maybe, but I don't think it matters.
No, I get your point. Yeah, like, it doesn't.
There's really another one just like him that's going to, if not him, then there's going to be another one that's like just like him, you know?
Yeah. I think he probably did, but okay. Maybe we'll see him again. I don't know. I'm not entirely sure.
He did kind of get crushed into that thing, right?
He got crushed pretty good. Like I think
he could go down into it like Scott did, and then Baskin Robbins his way out. Did you catch that, like, when the Baskin Robbins Scott Lang variant showed up, and then someone, it was like very faint, but one of the other Ant-Men went, "Do you have ice cream?" He's like, "Wait, do you have ice cream?"
Yeah.
Which I thought was a nice little throwaway line.
So, yeah, basically, and as it's written in like the description of the movie, the Kang gets pulled into oblivion. So take it for what it's worth. Either he's
Boba Fett can come out of the Sarlacc.
Yeah. So like, he's gone for now. You could bring him back. He could also be gone, or he might just be existing somewhere and he can't get back in. He might be in yet another trap, basically. Like, when he gets into the quantum realm, it was to get rid of him. Now he might be in another version of that, potentially. Then you get the post-credit scene where it's Loki and Morbius, Luke Wilson, or I'm sorry, Owen Wilson's character from Loki, in like the 1900s. And it looks like they got a guy on stage, and his name is Victor Timely, which is another Kang variant. And this is why I think Jonathan Majors is going to crush it for whatever movies he's in. Because think about all the different versions he's already played. He can do whatever he wants. You're going to have some sort of sympathetic ones. You're going to have funny ones. You're going to have mean ones. You're going to have angry ones. Like, the whole, you're going to run the whole gamut of characters to play. And this one looked pretty interesting to me, sort of like old timey.
And it's so, I think what's interesting about this is like, now you get a peek at what Loki season two is going to be, because it's going to be them trying to track him down at the source, like where he comes up with this, and kind of like Back to the Future it, where if like he doesn't exist, then this whole thing doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Or people never find out about it, and he doesn't do work on it. So maybe that's Loki season two is like trying to stop him.
Yeah, it's a problem
from like doing the research.
Yep. No, I like that. And so now I'm just excited where these characters go from here. I mean, specifically just Kang, right? Like the heroes are one thing. Like whatever Scott does next, whatever Cassie does next, all that stuff is great. But it really just comes down to what's next for Kang.
And I think this is the next big bad when we start talking about like Secret Wars.
Oh, no doubt.
Now the Secret War fight is going to happen in what you would assume is some sort of quantum universe.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely dealing with that. So here's the list of the next movies. Give me a yes or no if Kang's going to be in it. And by in it, mid and post credits count as well.
Okay.
All right, the next one up is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Absolutely.
I hope so. But I wonder if they're too close together. I'll say credits.
I'll say post credits. He's not going to be in the movie itself, but they'll be mentioned post credits.
The Marvels.
Yes, because that's dealing with multiversal things.
He could be. Yeah. Captain America, New World Order.
No.
Probably not. Thunderbolts.
No.
Blade.
No.
No. Deadpool 3.
Yes.
100 has to be.
Yeah.
Fantastic Four.
Absolutely.
100%. Because then the next two after those are Avengers, the Kang Dynasty, and Avengers Secret Wars. So I bet he's in, or at least referenced in half of them, because that's what they did with Thanos. Thanos not necessarily wasn't in them, but they would always kind of give you a little teaser at the end.
But I feel like with Thunderbolts, it's going to be like Thunderbolt Ross is going to mention to somebody that they're looking into multidimensional travel.
Yeah.
They won't mention him by name, but they'll start talking about like they want them to start doing these things or using them for these purposes.
Yep.
Right.
I agree. This is what we're going to be dealing with a lot.
And like recruiting from other dimensions.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty excited.
Yeah.
Now, do you think Scott Lang or even Cassie, would they be better suited for another movie at some point, or could you put them in a TV show?
I think I'm all set. I think I'm all set with them. And I think Avengers West Coast or Thunderbolts. I think because Cassie Lang slated to be in Thunderbolts?
Oh, good question.
Because I think
Thunderbolts are more like the fucking Suicide
Avengers
Squad.
West Coast, or like, yeah, but it's like U.S. Squad. Agent.
Suit heads, though.
It's the new Black Widow. I keep forgetting her name.
Yeah, but it's also like Red Guardian. It's all of them.
Yeah.
She's not listed in anything. I'm looking at the actress. She doesn't appear to be listed as any.
But there should be some sort of like Young Avengers squad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, there will be at some point.
I'm having like the worst brain issues right now. Kate Bishop, Cassie Lang, Peter Parker, who's now a nobody, right?
Ooh, good point. Yeah.
So, you know, you could do a Young Avengers thing.
You're gonna have the new Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
You have
Shuri for now.
Hulk has a kid.
Yep.
Remember from She-Hulk?
Scar.
So they got plenty to work with. So. All right, there you go. Again, let us know what you guys thought of Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania. It's a 3.5 for Davey. It's a 4.5 for me. And again, we're back to The Last of Us coming up. But then Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is only in, three short months or less than 3 months.
Yeah. About a
single mile, so.
Every time I see that trailer, I know they try to bring the funny with it, but I get sad.
I think there's going to be some tears.
I think my boy's going to die. I think my boy's going down.
Rocket?
Yeah.
I think Rocket, Drax, Star-Lord. I mean, there could be a few.
Everyone's on the table. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt. All right. Let's get to this.
Pick of the bomb.
All right. Normally, I would say you can kick, receive, defer, or defend a goal, but I got nothing this week, so I'm just going to go to you.
Oh, someone said what's on my shirt right now. This is the Barstool shirt with the guy. The Celtics are the balls.
Yeah.
This is the only thing of like Celtics I own. So I'm just gonna go team. They are, and go team. Just so I'm not a bandwagon guy. Like I got this last year.
No.
So there is a show on Peacock. If you are not looking for it, you might miss it. The name of the show is Paul T. Goldman. I need all of you to stop whatever you're doing. It's a mini series. It's 6 episodes. I need you to watch all of them immediately. Paul this guy,
T. Goldman.
I will. I just want you. I don't even read the synopsis because the synopsis doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
It's pitched as an American true crime documentary miniseries. Okay. Revolving around Paul T. Goldman, who uncovers fraud and deception caused by his ex-wife. That's all you need to know.
Okay.
And this is like, I know this might sound like hyperbole, but this is like Tiger King level good.
Is it like true or is it an actor?
So that's I'm okay, not right, saying anything else. You just have to watch it.
All right. Paul
because T. this guy okay. is dynamite television.
All right, I'm looking for something else, so I will watch
it. Watch Paul T. Goldman and let me know. You got to stick with it all the way, though.
6 episodes?
It's 6 episodes, and they're ranging from like 30 minutes to like an hour. Like they're kind of all over the place.
All right.
But it's one of those shows where like at the end of every episode, you're like, wait, what the fuck? Like what? Like what? Like you know what I mean? Like remember Tiger King? You were like that. You're like, hold on. Like so they're fighting over these cats, and this woman killed her husband. Hang on.
And then
that's part. So it's like one of those. Like it keeps you guessing the entire time. And like what's true and what isn't is very much on the table.
All right.
So check that out. Paul T. Goldman. I watched the whole thing. Loved it. So let me know what you think.
I'll watch it. I'll try to have it done by next week. Speaking of next week's episode, will be Sunday night, ballpark 10 o'clock for The Last of Us. And we'll do episode 6 and 7. So we'll do last night's episode in depth and the upcoming episode as well. So, we'll talk to you guys then. You can rate, review, subscribe to the podcast on Apple Pods or wherever you get your podcast. Hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Dork Podcast. And you can email us anytime, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. Davey, you don't give a shit about anything, do you?
What'd you say?
I said you don't give a shit about anything, do you?
Not really.